Sean McDermott was a very good head coach. This was a very good football team for a long, long time. They fired him and said, that's not good enough. So the ownership is telling you right now, what we did in the past is not good enough. 12-5 and not getting to the Super Bowl is not good enough. So I don't know if there is a head coach in an organization under as much pressure for the right reasons than Joe Brady and the Buffalo Bills, because we all know good is not good enough. He's got to be great. He's got to get this team to a Super Bowl. It doesn't matter what they do in the regular season. They can go 17-0. Nobody cares. What are you going to do once the playoff starts?
Welcome to the
Booger
McFarland, Nate Geary hive mind.
The spin zone.
Did not see that coming in the year 2026, but here we are. Yeah.
The spin zone.
I'm sitting with it. I'm sort of contemplating it. Like I think it's funny. Like to me, I totally get that premise. Like you said it before I heard Booger McFarland say it. And I liked it then, because my approach has mostly been kind of pump the brakes. Don't assume everything just continues along because of all the change. And instead, this is, well, the change means the change comes, brings the pressure, which is interesting. Like, I wonder, like, if McDermott hadn't been fired and was still here going into year 10. Would the Bills have the most pressure of any team in the league because Sean McDermott's in year 10 and Josh Allen still hasn't been to a Super Bowl? I think yes. So
it's just pressure from a different – it's a different color
McDermott
pressure.
McDermott from the equation, yeah. Put in a rookie head coach, and just assume the same pressure situation. That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
That is a lot. I hope they're up to it. That's a lot, I think. For Allen, for everyone.
First time head coach, first time defensive play caller in the NFL. It's not his first time calling plays, generally speaking. He did it
in
Wisconsin. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of firsts in this group of coaches. Yeah. And I mean, on top of that, you do have the unknown right now of what DJ Moore is in this offense. There was a predict DJ Moore stat line. And I think I put like 88 catches, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. People are like, that's insane. Like, I'm like, that's what a number one receiver's numbers are. So is he a number one receiver? Because right. If he is, that's what you're looking at.
Well, one of the ways I can be talked out of, and believe me, when I sound like I'm pessimistic, it's, you know, I still think, like, I would take 11 wins. I think 11 wins is reasonable and realistic, even with all the concerns I have. The one thing that can get me out of that headspace is the idea that all the new, especially on defense, like, if they can't keep teams down as effectively as mostly they did while McDermott was their coach in the regular season. Anyway, if they can't play to that consistent level and are forced into a different, like the focus of the offense becomes a little bit less. Yep. I don't think you're ever going to run completely away from James Cook. He led the league in rushing. You were excellent at it. So you're going to want to keep doing a good amount of that. But if they just start leaning a little more because they have to, game script tells you we got to keep up. And that means more throwing. And that means maybe DJ Moore has that kind of season and Josh Allen has, you know, a more explosive year. Maybe that's a thing that sort of keeps them going as a top powerhouse in the AFC.
I keep thinking more and more about 2020. And I think more and more about how that team was built offensively, which was, we don't really have a guy in the running, but it was Singletary and Zach Moss and,
yes,
you know, who,
right.
I don't know, right? And I think TJ Yeldon, it was moonlighted for a moment.
I don't remember that, but okay. I remember him on the Bills. I'm not sure
if it was,
anyway.
Yeah. But you think about the every level passing attack they had, right? That was early Dawson Knox. It was Cole Beasley. It was John Brown. It was short, intermediate,
and
deep.
And Diggs, of course.
Like, and Diggs,
20,
of
he
course.
Arrived here in 20.
Right, so you had the number one receiver, the take the top off the defense guy, the runs all the underneath routes, first down, you know, merchant,
life preserver,
and then
guy,
and then an opportunistic pass catching tight end that could get you a lot and could do a lot in the red zone. And I start to look at this team, and you start to see similar parallels to how they are trying to build the thing. And the question I keep coming back to is, and I'm sure I can guarantee when you're at a bar stool at, you know, your favorite North Buffalo, you know, tavern, that you have at least had one person come up to you and say, of the sorts, yeah, but, you know, McDermott was holding Joe Brady back. Joe Brady really wanted to throw the football, but it was McDermott that really wanted to run the football. And the only reason I'm going to give that idea a moment of oxygen is, when was the last time since Sean McDermott's been hired or been fired that you've heard everybody eats?
Well, I think that they with intent have left that.
I think it's done
at a rest stop.
And I just wonder, yes, is, they left it somewhere in the 90s.
Which is what should have been, which is what should have happened to him.
That was like a funny, fun little 1 year, we're gonna get through this together kind of thing. And then year two, I was like, this isn't that cool anymore.
No,
this is not cool anymore.
No.
But I do want to say, like, a little of it is now, okay, well, we got a number one receiver. You start hearing the head coach and offensive play caller, Joe Brady, say they want to move the offense and have it run through Josh Allen again. And I think if they do that, they have, I think, risen their ceiling.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. Like,
Maybe lower their floor.
My premise is that they're sort of forced at knife point to do it because their defense isn't as good. But however you get there, and if they're there without even seeing the defense play a down yet, then good for them.
Agreed.
Because they should get over that.
Lean
into Allen.
The prevent defense and hold the ball, it hasn't worked. Not when it matters. It's won them a ton of games in the regular season. And I don't want to just glaze over that and not give credit where credit's due. It has won them a bleep ton of regular season football games. And we can talk about how regular season, at this point, for a lot of Bills fans, doesn't matter anymore. I also think it's sort of the attitude that I've had in games when I'm on after you guys in the post game, and a bunch of people, you know, want to call in and tell me I'm just the young Jerry Sullivan because I'm so salty and angry after the Bills win a game. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you beat the Jets by 3. Do you want me to get on the show and
How great was that?
No, you beat the Jets by 3 points. And I think that's really where I've gotten to the point where it's hard. 7 years ago, you could be excited about a 3-point Jets win on the road when in week one, when, you know, John Brown gets that game-winning touchdown. You're like, wow, this is exciting. I've done so many depressing shows that is really cool. But at a certain point, they have less
juice. It's a lot less impressive.
Less juice.
I know, like, someone's waiting to tell you, like, it's hard to win games in our league, like Dick Girano used to say. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, it gets harder and harder. I fight this battle constantly. It gets harder and harder to just enjoy the regular season.
Yep.
Because, you know, Mike will reference. He's got the one friend acquaintance. I can't wait until we beat Kansas City and I feel nothing. Like in a regular season game. Like
I mean, we are definitely close to that.
I feel like that is the definitive. Like, I'm numb to how great we are, take I think you could ever have.
Yeah.
Because, like, there should be never, ever, ever be anything ordinary about beating the Chiefs, I don't think. But I get it. I mean, it you need to do it in January, not in November, and, you know, they still haven't done it.
Don't do that.
So
they don't do that.
It's I like this pressure point.
Yeah, it's no pun intended.
I did not mean that at all. I didn't even hear it.
Yeah, I did.
Good thing you're here.
I think
No, you did. Yeah, right. 803-0550. 8030550. Let me say the phone number without laughing. 8030550 is the phone number. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we're just hanging out, talking some football here. I hope that's okay. Nate Geary is in for Mike. Mike Tenier is coming up at the top of the hour. We'll pose this to him. Do the Bills have the most pressure of any team in the NFL? And talk about everything we've been talking about mostly with Mike. Looking forward to that. And then Joe Yurden, we haven't touched base with him, I don't think, since the Sabres. I think we had him on once after the thing ended. But anyway, we'll talk about the lay of the land here and whether there's any reason to think something could be percolating out there still in trade land for the hockey team. That's as we go. But again, 803-0550, lines are wide open if you're so inclined. Nate Geary in for Mike. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.